Good afternoon. Our second case of the day is State v. Botts. State v. Botts. You may proceed.
My name is Matt Kosmicki. I represent Mr. Botts in this matter. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Originally, Mr. Botts was charged with possession of a deadly weapon by a prohibited person. Botts filed a motion to suppress, which was heard by the trial court. He alleged basically that he was arrested without probable cause. That motion was overruled. The information was then amended to allege that he was possessed a knife by a prohibited person, which qualified as a deadly weapon. The case proceeded to trial. He was convicted by a jury and was sent to prison. Botts now appeals this and alleges four errors that I'll talk to you about. The first was the denial of his motion to suppress. Mr. Botts feels that the trial court erred by overruling his motion to suppress by allowing prejudicial, non-relevant evidence into evidence or being received in front of the jury, violating his due process rights to a fair trial by giving the jury an instruction of prima facie evidence, and then lastly, the evidence was insufficient to support a jury verdict of guilty. The first issue, motion to suppress, Botts was found by Lincoln Police Department officers trying to push a car to the curb. He ran out of gas, is what he told the first Lincoln officer that showed up. He was trying to push it to the curb. Eventually, other officers were called. It escalated quickly where Mr. Botts was placed in handcuffs and put in the back of a cruiser. It was then later after he was arrested that a handle of a machete was found sticking out from under the driver's seat of the car he was pushing.
Does the record reflect as to why the officers arrested him at that time? I mean, I know that there's discussion about investigating a DUI, but was it ever specifically said why he was taken into custody?
I think there was a lot of reasons that was given. I think there was investigating a DUI that they were looking in. I don't know. I was the trial attorney. That there was it was a lawful detention to investigate what's going on with Mr. Botts. Maybe that he was in an accident. That was one reason I think that was offered by the officers. But mainly, I think it was Officer Tran who earlier in the night had contacts with Mr. Botts and then said later on when he shows up later that, oh, hey, I smelled alcohol. But at that point, and it's been a while, I think that Mr. Botts was already being contacted by Officer Drager. No, it was a little bit before that. They said that Officer Drager and Officer Lopez were walking up to talk to Mr. Botts. But I don't know. I don't remember that it being very clear that what the reason for the arrest was, other than maybe the DUI. I remember that being one of the reasons.
So the state says that it wasn't until Mr. Botts was handcuffed that he was not free to leave the scene. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it was a little bit before that, but it happened so quickly. I think he was under arrest, but even at that point, I mean, I argue that actually when Mr. Botts was surrounded by officers, when he was backing up and he's surrounded, he's under arrest right there.
And what was he under arrest for?
I don't know. That's just it. Because he's not complying with the lawful order for whatever reason that was.
And the lawful order was to put his hands behind his back?
That's it. They went to talk to him. Mr. Botts said no. He was upset at that point. Mr. Botts, if you review the exhibits, he's very upset. But people can not like law enforcement. Mr. Botts was particularly upset because he asked for help to push his car to the side of the road. The officer said, I can't. And then he continues to push it, and he's trying to lawfully park it. And, you know, that was a long time when during Ferguson and a lot of things going on in our country, and Mr. Botts got really upset. And one of the comments he says, you wouldn't do this if I was a white guy, meaning that he would help him push the car to the side of the road. Why they place him under arrest at that point, I mean, they come up to talk to him. Mr. Botts says, I don't want to talk to you now. You know what I mean? The point is Mr. Botts is upset. Hey, too bad. You should have helped me before.
At the point, he's backing up toward a light pole, and there are four officers, and one officer has a stun gun,
taser,
drawn. Is that correct?
Yes.
And
he says to Mr. Botts, put your hands behind your back or I'll tase you.
So at that point, what do we have? We're beyond tier one.
We're beyond tier one. We're at tier three. I think we're at tier three when they're surrounding him and they're asking him. I mean, it's at night. There's police presence. They're commanding, using commanding voices that indicate compliance is required. So you have four officers, Mr. Botts by himself at night, asking, put your hands behind your back, come on, talk to us, whatever. And then the taser comes out and says, you comply or I'll tase you.
And in my understanding, recollection, if you will, this is about 2:30 in the morning.
Correct.
How long before that had it been that Officer Tran had the encounter with him where he said he detected the odor of alcohol but did not pursue it, did not arrest him or further detain him?
That was a couple hours.
Was there any evidence that anything had changed? In other words, that he drank more alcohol or was more under the influence of alcohol? Anything like that?
Nothing. The only thing that changed was earlier he had two occupants in the car with him and he was by himself then at that point. That's the only thing that changed based upon Officer Tran's first contact with him a couple hours earlier. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, at what point then did they decide that this was going to be a DUI arrest?
Not until Officer Tran showed up, and Officer Tran kind of was stayed back and missed, well, they all stayed back. And Mr. Botts is upset and he's yelling at him. I think that's how it's going. He's trying to still push the car. And then Officer Tran kind of leans over and says, I had contact with him. I think I smelled alcohol. But he didn't pursue a DUI. That's one of the things that's asked of him in court was, did you pursue a DUI then? He didn't. And he,
At that point, did the officers even know that he had driven the car to that place?
They had no idea. Because when they found Mr. Botts, he's outside the car, pushing it to the side of the road. And it was generally the same part of town. I don't know if that's in evidence, but it was the same part of town where the north side of town where Mr. Botts was originally contacted by Officer Tran. It wasn't like, here, same area. It wasn't like clear south Lincoln and clear north Lincoln.
And so then it was after he was placed in handcuffs that they decided to do basically an inventory search of the car because they were going to tow it. Why were they going to tow it?
They said that's per LPD policy because they were arresting him. And it was a hazard on the road, I think, but it was per LPD policy. But right after Mr. Botts is arrested, Officer Tran kind of goes over to the car and looks in and then says, hey, there's a machete, and he pulls it out. But they were going to inventory search it because of the arrest. So the seizure of the machete is connected to the arrest.
And the arrest is for?
I don't know. It wasn't in evidence. It was because Mr. Botts was out of control. We believe it's because he was yelling at them and not getting along with them and basically complaining because he's a black man at night that they're harassing him. I'm already into my rebuttal time.
Okay.
I'll reserve a little bit. Thanks.
Thank you.
Get some water real quick. May it please the court. My name is Austin Relf, representing the state of Nebraska. Number of issues on appeal. I'll start off just focusing on the motion to suppress, since this is what the court appears most interested in. So I didn't argue in my brief that the defendant was free to leave before the handcuffs were put on. What I was distinguishing was when it transferred or transitioned from an investigatory stop to an arrest. In the investigatory stop, you still have license to seize the person. That's what the initial, similar U.S. Supreme Court case said, that he could stop, investigate. So we don't disagree that the defendant was not free to leave when they're, circling him. He backs up to the light pole. There's a taser drawn.
I think you argued in your brief that didn't occur until they placed him in handcuffs. Are you changing that position?
No. What I said in my brief, was that the handcuffs occurred after that. And the handcuffs is what transitioned it from an investigatory stop to an arrest.
Right, but I think it transitioned before that.
Well, and I disagree. I think what the case law says is that the general rule is that officers are allowed to take such steps as are reasonably necessary to protect their personal safety and to maintain the status quo so that the limited purposes of the investigatory stop may be achieved. That doing so does not change an investigatory stop into an arrest.
Is the personal safety relating to the officer, or is it relating to the detainee, or is it relating to both?
I would say both. And basically what happened here is the two officers, Drager and Lopez, everybody was standing off to the side, and Officer Tran showed up, and he explained basically that he responded to the phone call because he recognized the license plate over the dispatch. He tells Officer Drager, hey, I stopped this guy earlier, a couple hours before around midnight, smelled of alcohol. So at that point, Officers Drager and Lopez decide, okay, well, we'll go out talk to him and see, you know, what's going on, because all they knew was he'd been stopped earlier, smell of alcohol, and that the car now had been, it's going into the curb, it's disabled. The defendant just says, well, I ran out of gas. They don't know if that's true.
Was there any visible sign of damage to the vehicle to indicate it had been in some kind of accident?
No, I don't believe so. So at that point, I think they have a reasonable suspicion to do an investigatory stop. They go forward, they ask the defendant, hey, have you been drinking? All of a sudden, he just goes, gets pretty agitated, takes a defensive posture, fighting stance, according to the testimony of the officers. And at that point, everybody sort of converges as he backs up towards the light pole. The taser comes out. I think that is all permissible under that rule to effectuate basically the investigatory stop.
So as I understand it, when they placed the handcuffs on him and placed him in the vehicle, at that time he was under arrest.
Yes,
and
I think so.
What was he under arrest for having done?
Well, at that point I think there's a couple different crimes. I don't know if they ever, my recollection of the record, I don't recall if they ever said, hey, I arrested him for X or Y or Z. But there's probable cause to arrest, I think, at that point for DUI as well as failure to comply with the lawful order.
What's the probable cause for the DUI?
Well, I think you have the earlier stop, one, that the officer said, I smelled alcohol.
Two hours earlier?
Yes. Two, you have him being the lone person there, the driver. The car apparently is disabled for some reason. And you have his attitude and demeanor, which basically is unexplainable, really. It was a simple question, and he goes...
Gentlemen there with our officers,
yes,
watching him try to struggle moving this car by himself and asking for help and being told that they can't help him because of police officers' policy in the apartment. You don't think that at 2:30 in the morning that doesn't rise to somebody getting upset?
Oh, I didn't say that, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that I think there was enough to get a... reasonable suspicion to do the investigatory stop. And then after that happens and he does get upset, and you take into account as well the prior stop, smell of alcohol, the video of Officer Tran at the time as well, he said he smelled alcohol. You take that into account, I think you have at least probable cause to arrest for DUI. I'm not saying that it ultimately comes out to a conviction, but probable cause is not a more likely than not standard. It's simply, is there some probability that the defendant was under the influence while driving the car.
As he's backing up toward the light pole and there are four officers surrounding him with a taser drawn, was he free to leave?
No.
So why isn't that then the time of the arrest as opposed to the time they put the handcuffs on him?
Because whether you're free to leave is not the determining factor for whether you're under arrest. The free to leave test is whether there's been a seizure for Fourth Amendment purposes. The investigatory stop is a seizure for Fourth Amendment purposes. The arrest, or once you have an investigatory stop, then you have to ask, as I quoted here in State v. Wells as well as the U.S. v. Jones and Eighth Circuit, then you ask whether it was reasonably necessary to protect personal safety and to maintain the status quo. Anything that's reasonably necessary to do that is still a continuation of the investigatory stop. Now, my point is I think once you handcuff him, because he's basically calmed down a little bit by that point, and the investigation at that point is basically over for the DUI, then I think it's transitioned from an investigatory stop to an arrest. But the free-to-leave test is only relevant toward whether there's a seizure and not whether the investigatory stop is now becoming an arrest. I think that the Nebraska Supreme Court, as well as the Eighth Circuit, has been clear on that in the cases I cited.
Would you say that, generally speaking, that if a person is taken in the custody on probable arrest for DUI, that the normal procedure is for the officer to get into the vehicle and talk to the individual, determine whether there is an odor of alcoholic beverage coming from the individual, and then asking him to take a test or to do various tests, physical tests, to determine whether or not he is under the influence?
Well, certainly I think, and I don't think this is really a run-of-the-mill case, viewing the video recording, but certainly an officer, if the suspect or the detainee is more amenable to talking to the officers, then that might be something that would be worthwhile, pursuing field sobriety tests, PBT. And frankly, I don't have an explanation for why Officer Tran didn't do all that earlier at the stop when you combine the erratic driving, everything else with...
Well, let's not talk about earlier. Let's talk about the way it is now.
Right.
Because the thing that's concerning me is they say you're taking the position that they're arresting him for because they have probable cause for a DUI. But I don't see that they did anything to follow that up.
No, and I don't have necessarily an explanation for that. But a defect in the officer's judgment doesn't mean that there wasn't probable cause to arrest. It's an objective view of the facts. And I'm saying the objective view of the facts is we have an odor of alcohol, we have erratic behavior, we had the prior driving incident, plus the odor of alcohol at the time of the event, according to the body camera recording. That's probable cause to arrest for DUI. And I would also note that the trial court, in reviewing this, made an explicit credibility finding that Officer Tran was credible on all of that. So, in my view, there was probable cause to arrest, whether or not the officers knew it, whether they actually acted on it, whether their judgment, I don't know why they didn't pursue a DUI investigation. I would have, but they didn't. But I don't think that that obviates the probable cause for the arrest to begin with. And because there was probable cause to arrest, I think the court properly overruled the motion to suppress. As far as the evidentiary objections, the jury instruction, I think I addressed those in the brief. Unless this court has questions on that or the sufficiency of the evidence, I would submit my brief on that.
When I was working on this case, it seemed to me that the officers expressed concern about the safety of the individual. And that when they took him into custody, it was for both their protection and for his protection. They didn't want anything to happen for this thing to escalate out of control.
Okay.
And nobody argues that. Nobody talks about that. They talk about this probable cause for a DUI, which they never followed up on. I don't understand that. I'm really having problems with it, and if you want to address it, I'd give you that opportunity.
Well, I guess the argument made below by the appellant was there was not probable cause to arrest. Everything else after that needs to be suppressed. So I responded to that argument, that I think we do have probable cause to arrest for refusal to comply with the lawful order as well as possible DUI. The subjective intent of the officers or why they did what they did, I don't think is relevant to that inquiry. And so I addressed the argument that was made below, and I think it's without merit. And that's why I think the district court properly overruled the motion to suppress.
Draeger did not suspect any evidence of DUI until Tran arrived on the scene and informed him that he had encountered him 2 hours plus before. Is that
yeah,
true?
Yeah, I think that's what my recollection of the record, yeah, that he didn't really have any suspicion of DUI until Tran said, hey, I met him earlier this evening and there was an odor of alcohol. But then I think once you have that information, everything else takes on a whole different context. 2:30 in the morning, he's the sole guy there, the car's disabled. I mean, smell of alcohol apparently.
They didn't even know if he'd driven the car there.
I think that's the reasonable conclusion to draw. He's the only one there. Nobody else showed up while they're doing all this.
What if he'd run out of gas and then gotten a ride back to try to...
That could very well have happened, but we're talking purely probable cause, not 100% certainty. I think it gave probable cause for the officers, reasonable suspicion to conduct that investigatory stop, And then once everything else sort of unfolded as it did, I think that's probable cause to arrest.
So, Mr. Ralph, if he was not under arrest until he was handcuffed and put in the cruiser, when did he get his Miranda rights?
I don't recall that, Your Honor.
Did he get them?
I honestly don't recall.
Okay.
But the custody determination for Miranda is not the same as whether an investigatory stop becomes an arrest. And the Nebraska Supreme Court said that, too. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
How long did we take the appellee over? Would you please add that to Mr. Kosmicki's time?
To answer your question, he got his Miranda rights later when Officer Drager gets back in the car and takes him to jail. So there's this whole incident outside. He's under arrest, put in the back of the cruiser. The officers are on the scene investigating for a while.
He also made some statements in the cruiser,
right? He did make some statements in the cruiser.
And that was before the Miranda right was read to him?
Correct.
How do you respond to the state's argument that there was probable cause to handcuff him and arrest him?
There wasn't probable cause. There was no crime being occurred. Mr. Botts, you know, there's no crime against not liking the police. He wanted their help. They wouldn't help him. They came up to talk to him again, startled him. You can see exhibit of the video of the stop speaks for itself. He's surprised. Mr. Botts backs up, you know, because someone's behind him, because they weren't helping him for the whole time he's sitting there trying to push the car and park it. I don't believe there's a DUI. Officer Tran is the only person who says, I think I smelled some odor of alcohol earlier. He didn't investigate a DUI earlier in the night.
Excuse me, counsel. When he talked about the alcohol that he smelled earlier in the night, doesn't he testify that he smelled the alcohol coming from the vehicle?
That's probably true. I think that's right.
He didn't really say that it was coming from Mr. Botts, did he?
That's true, because there was three people in the car, and the way that contact went, the way I recall it, no, that was probably true, that he only smelled it from the car. I think the bigger problem with the DUI is that, but also thinking there's probable cause for a DUI, Mr. Botts isn't even in the car. I mean, this is like almost like a State versus Martin case where you have no idea when he last operated the car. The crime of DUI is there's going to be some nexus between driving and under the influence or over .08. They don't have any evidence of anything like that yet before they arrest him.
Well, but isn't there an inference that if he's there pushing the car, that it's his vehicle and it had to get there somewhere?
It's not his vehicle. It's his mother's vehicle.
Well, but they don't know that. I mean, when the officer's investigating it, I mean, they didn't say they ran a check on the license plate to see who it belonged to. At least not that I recall.
Well, there is an inference, but I think also you got to take into consideration there's two other people in the car the last time Officer Tran saw it. I mean, anybody can operate that car in the 2 hours or 2.5 hours since Officer Tran last had contact with Mr. Botts. And there was two officers in that car. It was Officer Tran, wasn't Drager, McBride was with Tran. I mean, McBride doesn't offer any of this evidence. He's at the car earlier in the contact with Mr. Botts, with Tran. Officer McBride doesn't say anything about this odor of alcohol and this other stuff, so. And as far as the comments, the danger that you alluded to, you know, Exhibit 1 again, or the, not Exhibit 1, the video of the contact speaks for itself. I don't recall my review of it that Mr. Botts takes a defensive stance. I mean, he does make statements about, what are you going to do? Are you going to whoop me? Are you going to kill? Are you going to shoot me? And he's speaking really loud in an attempt to get the whole neighborhood to see, hey, I'm a black man at night at 2:30 surrounded by four cops. With that, I would just, the other items in my brief, I discussed them and would ask for the relief we asked for in our brief. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for appearing. The case is submitted. Counsel, you're excused. Our next